This is Nick Geyer of the Palouse Pundit with some reflections on Veterans Day 2006. At 11 a.m. on November 11, 1918, the guns fell silent on the battlefields of Europe. 4 million soldiers died, 6 million civilians were killed, and 21 million were wounded. In a joint resolution on June 4, 1926, Congress voted to set aside November 11th as a day to honor those who fought, quote, in the most destructive and far-reaching war in human annals. Members of Congress also recognized the, quote, resumption of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed. They encouraged all Americans to build peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. Veterans Day is therefore not only a time to remember those who have served our country, but it's also an opportunity for us to think about how we can bring about world peace. We should redouble our efforts to make sure that our military men and women never again have to make the ultimate sacrifice. No American president should send these good people to war unless we are directly attacked, or unless, in situations of no immediate threat, the issues are thoroughly debated and a consensus to intervene militarily is reached with as many major powers as possible. Our veterans can be honored properly only if they've been called to fight in battles that follow just war principles. The Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy defines a legitimate war as having just cause, being declared by proper authority, possessing right intention, having a reasonable chance of success, and the end being proportional to the means used. Nations that go to war are also responsible in protecting the lives of non-combatants, to use humane interrogation techniques, and to provide shelter, clothing, food, and medical care for prisoners. We've always thought that civilian control of the military is a good policy. But what if the rash and unprincipled actions that we once feared the military might do are done by civilian leaders instead? Former Defense Secretary Rumsfeld overruled generals who proposed that at least 300,000 troops were necessary to secure Iraq. He made light of the fact that military vehicles were not properly armored, and he ignored the Geneva Convention on Torture. These arrogant actions have caused unnecessary Iraqi and American deaths. Some claim that the terrorist threat is so different that we can no longer follow the principles of just war or conform to international law. At a recent symposium at the University of Idaho, former Senator Gary Hart correctly described international terrorists as criminal syndicates, and he said that we must deal with them in the same way that we deal with other criminals. Hart agrees with the Europeans, who have refused to call our new struggle a war and have chosen instead to intensify their very effective police efforts to track down and arrest terror suspects. Even the most heinous criminals are given basic rights, including a right to appear before a judge and to hear the charges against them, a right that Congress now denies terror suspects, many of whom were arrested because their neighbors got $1,000 for turning them in. Furthermore, even our worst criminals are not forced to confess by being tortured. Our armed services contain some of the best trained and equipped men and women in the world. I'm confident they can successfully defend America against any conventional attack, and I would drop everything and help them in any way possible. But sending our troops to the Middle East has created more terrorists than ever before. Remember that Osama bin Laden, previously a recipient of U.S. aid in Afghanistan, turned against us after we stationed troops in Saudi Arabia, his home country. Since 2003, over 2,800 flag-draped coffins have arrived during the dead of night at Dover Air Force Base without any formal recognition. These brave men and women have indeed died in vain. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check out my website at www.nickgeyer.com.